This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
We've got a raft of bad news around to end the week, I'm afraid, Nick. Starting with the latest non-farm payroll numbers, the U.S. jobs report, and a big surprise there, the number of jobs in the U.S. economy fell last month. That is an unexpected contraction that has certainly renewed questions about whether the labor market in the United States might be starting to crack. I mean, looking at the numbers, we actually saw a loss of 92,000 jobs, and actually a positive was expected.
That's right. The expectation going into this was 58,000 jobs to be added to the U.S. economy for the month of February. And to get a reading of minus 92,000 jobs was a very big shocker to the market. That is, by the way, versus forecast, a miss of 150,000 jobs. It is the biggest miss that we have had in over 1.5 years. Definitely a shocker to the market that I think you would agree, Johnny, that the market certainly did not need in this moment. We had enough things going on, enough things to worry about, and that did send markets lower initially when we got this data released this morning. We also saw retail sales a little bit mixed, and unemployment rate itself actually went up to 4.4%. That was above the forecast to stay, remain at 4.3%. So, overall, definitely a very weak jobs report. However, it is worth mentioning that they didn't really revise the previous month's number down very much. It went from 130 the last month, which we cheered, by the way. We had strong jobs last month, a big beat last month, but dwarfed by this one, which really, really was a swing and a miss in terms of jobs report data to end out this week. We had kind of been able to hold our or hang our hat on the idea that, okay, the jobs market's holding up, the economy, having all this stuff thrown at it, but jobs remained relatively holding up recently. We've described it on the podcast, and many other, financial commentators have described this as a low fire, low hire type of a market, like just a jobs market that's been kind of stuck. But today's data point draws that into scrutiny, and we actually say, okay, are we actually in more of a low hire and fire type of jobs market? Are we seeing this thing shift from not great into actually a bad jobs market, which brings a whole new list of problems with it when we think about what I know we're about to talk about next, which is, of course, the state of the Middle East now seeing oil prices shockingly higher.
Indeed. I mean, under normal circumstances, a jobs report like today's would have spooked markets. But with the background, as you said, of this continuing war in the Middle East, it's even more problematic. And we've seen oil prices jump considerably over the last 24 hours. And that's partially, I think, because Qatar's energy minister has warned that he expects all oil and gas exporters in the Gulf to stop production within days, which would be traumatic, really. I mean, if ships are unable to proceed through the Strait of Hormuz, the energy minister said that in 2 to 3 weeks, the price of oil could soar to further than $150 a barrel. I don't think we've ever seen a number like that, certainly not in recent years. It's extremely worrying, and President Trump under more pressure, no doubt, to find an end game to this war before things get out of hand.
Yeah, and I think you said that very well. I mean, and the way I would describe this, I jokingly, but also seriously, said this earlier. I was on a live stream where I said the three biggest problems to this market with everything going on right now, the three biggest things are inflation. And the reason for that is because this suddenly, I mean, Johnny, we had just kind of gotten to a point now where inflation looked like we might see the light at the end of the tunnel. But the thing we talked about on the last podcast with the Ukraine and Russian war, people projected that that war was going to be over within weeks. They expected Ukraine to roll over immediately and for terms to be set and for the war to be over in a matter of weeks. And we are still seeing that war and you know, negotiations ongoing in that part of the world. Now we add into the mix a second war. And I know, of course, nobody knows with certainty, and I'm certainly no expert on geopolitics within that region. But who's to say that this thing could not be drawn out as well? And it brings back into the fray this challenge of inflation on top of the jobs market data that we got. It's hard not to be a little bit worried and say, okay, well, we have a serious change in the wind in terms of the Fed's landscape or the Bank of England's landscape. You know, we look at central banks, we say, well, now you have this external force that is very hard once the cat's out of the bag, right? It's hard to get it back in there. And so the genie's out of the bottle with this inflation problem. If this continues in the Middle East, if things continue to escalate, I should say, we have a situation in which inflation, I saw a report this morning projecting that for every few percent that oil prices move higher, you suddenly have risks to inflation. And I saw projections as high as 2.9% for the US CPI coming forward already for this response to the elevated oil prices. So again, I think it is front and center now that we have challenges to the ability of central banks to cut interest rates, which was for the last several months something that we were kind of cheering the idea of. The stock markets remained elevated. The dollar has remained cool. And I do think that that brings us to a really important topic of the day, which is the roaring higher of the US dollar. We do see, of course, in response to all this geopolitical tension, the dollar remaining bid. Now, of course, that enthusiasm for the dollar bullishness has been curbed a little bit here this morning with the lackluster jobs report. But still, you know, we remain bid here. The dollar has not come down that far from its recent highs. Trading around 99 is the DXY. So against most major currencies, we continue to see a strong supportive U.S. dollar in response to all of this. Likely, again, in anticipation that inflation will remain elevated and that, of course, there's that risk-off bid for U.S. dollars amidst all this stuff, as the expectation is the Federal Reserve may not be able to cut interest rates. We turned the calendar year looking at a potential 3 rate cuts for the U.S. We are now looking at somewhere around 1. So things have dramatically, and of course, I'm speaking of U.S. terms, we have dramatically seen things shift, and that is causing the surge in U.S. dollar.
I was just wondering, actually, Nick, when you were talking about the number of cuts that we are possibly expecting now this year, reduced from 3 to 1, what about the other way around? If this crisis creates some sort of global recession, perhaps central banks will actually have to cut rates rather than increase them.
Well, I think that's actually a very fair thought process, too. If you think about this, historically speaking, if you have a sudden surge in oil prices, energy prices, and it does lead to inflation and elevated interest rates, that can be the sort of concoction that can lead into global recessions. And so I think it's perfectly valid to question, okay, well, if we continue to see the jobs market slip, we already had all the AI worries, right? And that seems like a lifetime ago already. And yet that still is out there too. There's worries about the AI trade and all of that side of things. There's so much kind of going at this at once that it is true that similar to what we've discussed with the Bank of England, right? They've had not great growth, but they've also had recently decently cooling inflation, but even a stickiness, right? Stickiness in the inflation story when we look at the Bank of England. They have sticky inflation and low growth. We've seen central banks typically, what will they do in response to that? They will kind of kick the rock down the road to try and save the day in the current time. And so, yeah, to your point, if you continue to see pressure in the jobs market and economic growth, you know, the world in many ways, we've been running at wartime deficits in a relatively peaceful time in many Western nations. So perfectly fair to say, hey, they may actually still cut the rates to try and save the day if things continue to materially worsen. So, yeah, I mean, it's tug and pull, right? Because at this time, if you look at yields today, the 2-year yield is actually down on the day, while the 10-year yield is just slightly higher on the day. So it goes to show you that the jobs market seems to have a negative impact here. But leading up into this, the geopolitical stuff has caused yields to rise in anticipation of sticky and elevated inflation. So I think you have a force on both sides of that, right? One force for lower rates to protect the slowing economies of the world, if that does take place. And on the other side, a bid, or I should say, you know, rise in yields, a sell on bonds in response to elevated inflation.
Well, it's going to be a bumpy ride over the next few days and weeks. But what about the next week? Of course, we don't know what could happen with this Middle East war and whether things could get even worse as far as the oil and gas situation is concerned, which will affect the global economy. What is happening over the next few days?
Yes. So as you mentioned, the weekend, of course, carries pretty big uncertainties with it, with the Middle East side of things. A couple economic data points to consider next week. We have the CPI for the United States number coming out at 8:30 on Wednesday. That is 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, of course. That will be heavily anticipated as markets are definitely jittery around inflation. Of course, that will be looking at the previous month. Really, what will be interesting is the CPI 1 month following that, which will give us some insights into what is happening here in March, too. On Thursday, of course, we have the unemployment claims out of the United States. On Friday of next week, we have UK GDP numbers. We have preliminary GDP out of the United States, core PCE out of the United States, employment figures out of Canada, and also JOLTS job openings out of the US as well. So pretty action-packed week next week to come.
Nick, thanks very much for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Shawnee. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.